Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Join the Drunk Women on the eve of their 100th episode. They'll be celebrating and looking back over 99 other occasions where they got drunk and solved some crimes. And you can join them too on Tuesday, the 28th of July, 2020 at 8 p.m. GMT. You can crack open a bottle or two and tell them your favourite bits of the series so far.
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Children do steal quite a lot, like historically, if we look at, you know, Oliver.
Mm-hmm. We all watched Braveheart as a family, and my mum literally turned to me and my dad and my brother and went, "You see what you English did to us?"
So fertile in Kent, the soil's grey.
I'd had a bottle of wine.
Now it's time. Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to another lockdown edition of Drunk Women Solving Crime. Today we are joined by Esther Manito.
Yay!
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Yay. Thank you for being here. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm having a bit of pink gin and tonic.
Oh,
I know.
What makes it pink?
They make it pink.
Pink gin.
Just dye? Is it just dye? I just wondered if it was like a fruity, like, is there a fruit?
It could be rhubarb.
I don't know, and I never questioned it, which just proves what type of an alcoholic I am. I'm just like, sorry, it's got booze in it. Yes, no, it's fine. I don't care
it's
if it's pink. Aftershave, just mix
but
it
what
with
is
tonic.
It? It's pink.
I've got some pink gin, but it's too far away for me to look at what it is.
Never drink yellow gin. That's a saying. I think it's yes. mixed with piss. I'm not sure.
Only in the winter, know. Though. Summer, it's fine.
Everything's well, fine on lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. Anything
no
goes. Guys, drink your own piss. Drink all colours of gin and just go crazy.
Drink all the liqueurs that you never get through.
Well, on that note, Esther, We ask one question on this podcast. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have. Sorry, a little bit too excited about that. Like, yes!
Yay, crime.
And I've always wanted to talk about it. I was burgled. My house was burgled at Christmas time. Yes. I know, just before Christmas. And they stole all the Christmas presents.
No! They stole Christmas.
So it was literally like about a week and a bit before Christmas. And I was at my children's school disco having a lot of fun. And when we came back, I opened the door and my kids ran upstairs to go to the toilet. And my son just went, the house has fallen down. And we went upstairs and just everything. Everything was smashed. Just everything that could be smashed was smashed. And like just underwear drawer flung and the bed lifted up. And I was just like,
God.
And then I ran around to my next door neighbour. And like in this kind of like, and I just said, we've been robbed. And he went, and then just very slowly shut the door in my sobbing face. And I was
oh my God.
Because I genuinely thought he'd be like, come in, you know, do you want a cup of tea? Call the police. But he was just like, oh, that's
most
bad, isn't it?
British response ever.
Yeah.
Fucking
hell.
Or
did he do it?
Yeah, he's on my list.
I was going to blame the Grinch. I was going to go classic. Yeah. But I think it might be the asshole neighbor.
Every Christmas film, isn't it? It's the premise of every Christmas film.
Yeah, but they get them back and it's fine.
I don't want to throw shade on your kids. But did you have eyes on them the whole disco? Because that sounds to me like some kids have gone back to try and find where their presents are.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. If they had like epic strength and they'd just like turned over wardrobes, I'd be like, oh my God, are you the Incredibles? Are we the Incredible family? This is amazing.
And that's a whole other film.
God, I can't get my head around it. But no, but what was really amazing is we called the police and the police were just like, well, yeah. And they burgled like four houses in the street.
Oh my God.
I know, including an elderly couple who were sat on their sofa and they just walked past them. They broke in and walked past them while this couple were like, and just went and took what they needed to take and off they went. So we knew what they looked like and we obviously there was like four houses and the police were just like, yeah, we'll come out if it's like really bad.
They didn't even come out.
No, just the insurance man turned up. Like, you know, to see if we were lying.
But do Christmas so presents get covered under insurance? Because they're kind of...
House insurance, sure.
Yeah, under your house insurance. As long as you have, like, all your receipts. But they're fucking expensive. And I was like, they have got onto a gold mine. Because, like, Transformer is, like, 30 quid a piece. I was like, this is fucking... mental. And, of course, you can't get that back until you've gone through all the insurance claims. So we weren't going to get it back before Christmas.
No.
So we just had to go and rebuy everything.
Oh my God.
So yeah.
It could have been worse. That's what you did. Okay.
But that's what everyone says to you. Could be worse. At least you're alive. You're like,
yeah,
really?
Thanks.
I don't give a shit.
Thanks for reminding me. I hate when people do this about trauma. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, can I sit in the trauma I have? Yes, I know there are worse things. That does not ever help you.
I know.
Especially in the moment.
I had to go and film something the next day that couldn't be rescheduled due to like timelines of the production company. So they were like, we're really sorry. I mean, we can cancel, but I don't know if we're going to be able to do this again. So I had to get a cab the next morning at 5 a.m. to go and film something whilst my husband was like sweeping up glass and going, okay, that's fine, I think. And I was just having to be like really jovial on this shoot. Like, yeah, no, of course I want to joke with you about something really irrelevant. It's all fine. Everything is fine. I'm just a really funny woman. So that was pretty shit. And it's weird that someone's been through your house and been through your underwear.
Yes.
Especially because your underwear is particularly bad. I was like, if it was like pulling out like Anne Summers like lingerie, I'd be like, fine. But it's all like, you know, underwear that I've had since I was like 17 and all the elastic's gone and those are period
good
stones,
for
and
you're you just
like, you're like, these are those robbers. And how bad is that as a woman, like, I'm supposed to be a feminist, but I'm sitting there going, oh no, these robbers would think I'm really unsexual.
How are they gonna sexually objectify me now?
They're not gonna be wanking into my underwear because I'm a period stain. Like, oh, that's just so gross.
I'm very stuck on this cold neighbor. I am obsessed with this neighbor because I just
No.
She's gesticulating.
I never hear them. And they're like a massive family, and I hear none of them. What? And one day they came out with their children, and I was like, oh my God, I didn't know you had children. And his wife was like, yeah, we knew you did.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, because a robber stole all their fucking Christmas presents, which I told your husband. But
that and the fact that my children are feral and all they hear is me going, I will burn this house to the ground if you don't do the one thing I've asked you to do.
I'm not the only one.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, I forget to feed them sometimes. I mean, you know, the robbers would have done them a service if they'd stolen the children, but they didn't. They just took the presents. So that's my only real crime experience.
I mean, that's enough. That's enough.
I mean, I've not been locked in a shed or anything and kept for days, but, you know.
Yeah, don't complain about this. You could have been locked in a shed, Esther.
I know.
Wow, but, yeah. That's a lot though for like a one-time crime experience. That's pretty horrible. So we say on the show, we ask if you had the people in front of you who did this, who stole the Christmas presents, what would you say to them?
Did you take a close look at my underwear? Did you notice how bad it was? What I would say to them, I don't know, because I then became really obsessed with reading about the types of people that do house burglaries, because these are the people that have been inside my house. And my other half, he was always like, oh, just stop looking at it, like, it's done now, let's just try and click, because my kids are really freaked out about being in our house, and it's very weird for your family to suddenly feel really weirded out by their own home. And I started looking at, like, and apparently there are like immigrants that will come in and they're illegal, and then they get, you know, they've had everything taken away from them, and then they get put into a van. I don't know that this is the people that did my house, and then they get kind of dropped off in a street, and it's like, before you are given access to work or a house, whatever, you need to go and rob X amount of stuff.
Whoa.
So it's all, and then I started reading about things like that, and then I was just like, oh my God, like, and then I started feeling sorry for these people, and I was like, oh, maybe, and then it was a way of trying to like deal with it with my children. I was like, it's really important that I don't make out that scary people have been in the house.
Right.
So then I started kind of like, no, it's just someone who needed to feed their family and all the rest of it. And by the end of like this entire period, I was like, oh, poor them, they didn't take enough. I could have given them more. So it depends. If it's people like that, then obviously it's a whole different ball game. But if it's just, you know, gobshites who just want, you know, money, then I would probably I'd probably say something along the lines of, you did a grave wrong. And I feel I will hate you forever. I don't know, because you get that kind of those things where you can sit, I can't remember what it's called, where you sit with the person that did the crime to you.
And you
have those.
Oh yeah, I can't remember what that's called either.
It's something like restorative justice.
That is, I think that is what it's called.
Yeah. And my sister used to work in that, and she said some of those meetings were just like heartbreaking, because sometimes it would be pure anger, and sometimes it would be like, I forgive you. And then the criminal is just like, oh my God. You know, especially in cases where it's quite violent crime. So I don't think until you humanise someone, it's quite hard to know what you'd say.
That is a very profound answer.
Yeah.
You've never had an answer that deep, I think.
Just go with the period pants one.
She gave us two choices.
Do you think I'm pretty?
Do you know what? That whole time that you told us that story, which is amazing, is I've had my hand on this bottle of Prosecco, because I opened it and then I was going to pop it, and then you were like, they took my children's Christmas presents. And if I'd have gone like, so I'm just going to fill my glass and then we will.
I'm so jealous you got Prosecco. I drank all my Prosecco. Not today. For breakfast.
The trick is, order breakfast. 12 bottles at a time.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
So this case today, we are talking about a crime that involves Scotland, England, and a huge fuck off stone.
Uh-oh.
So first question, has anyone ever heard of the Stone of Scone or the Stone of Scone? Depending. Literally, picked that, this case entirely.
I do know that the cream goes on it first.
Yeah. I mean, putting jam on it first is just savage.
It just slides all over. I have not heard of it, Hannah George.
I know. I'm thinking of the Blarney Stone. Continue.
Esther, any stones that you know of?
The Rosetta.
Rosetta.
That would be quite a big crime, wouldn't it? No, I've not heard of the Stone of Scone, the Stone of Scone.
It was also called the Stone of Destiny. And basically what it is, it's an oblong block of red sandstone originating from a place called Stone in Scotland. And it's used in coronations of kings and queens. So basically it's sort of like a throne. So it's within a throne, this huge piece of stone. And royalty sit on it for their coronations. And it's been used since the 11th century. So, like, it's been used for hundreds and hundreds of years. And most recently, it was used in the 1953 coronation of Queen Elizabeth. So it's had a lot of royal arses on it, this stone.
Okay.
But 3 years before Lizzie came to the throne, in 1950, the Stone of Scone was stolen from Westminster Abbey. It was an audacious crime committed by four people. Who do you think these people were? Were they men, women, children?
I'm going to say men.
Okay.
I'm just because you've put it out there, I'm going to say my children, even though they weren't born in 1950.
Sounds like the sort of thing they do.
They keep nicking stuff.
Well, I mean, children do steal quite a lot. Like, historically, if we look at, you know, Oliver, there was an army. An army of thieving kids. So when was it? 1950. So that's probably still kind of street. I mean, you can see that my homeschooling is amazing with my history knowledge, but that's still like the street urchin era, is it?
It's post.
you're like, sorry, what's the question?
I didn't know that was an era. I just don't know. I don't really know British history. What was were
Game
the urchin years?
Street urchin.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Sorry, so it's four people who steal this from Westminster Abbey. I would love it if it was four broads. I would absolutely love that. But
I want to go on record and say there's one kid at least.
Ooh, it was three men and a baby. No, it wasn't. That's a callback to another episode that we did. It was three men and a woman, which is a terrible sequel. And
it's just really depressing. Let's do a lot of wiping surfaces.
The cast of everyone.
It's when the baby grows up and she's like, how the fuck did this happen? This makes no sense. And you guys are misogynists. And you have
like, I'm all grown up and it's still three men and one woman.
And so they were all Scottish students, and because the stone was originally from Scotland, they felt as though it belonged back in Scotland.
Oh, it's just like, okay.
So the stone had been stolen by the English in 1296. And these people hold a grudge. Like, these four really...
It feels like a university prank, but on a mega scale.
Yes.
Like
I love
stealing
that.
A mascot or something.
Yeah,
but it's
right.
Their rightful property, blah, blah, blah.
But they came all the way down from Scotland to Westminster Abbey.
In 1100 and...
And took the stone back.
Well, yeah, this was in 1950, so it got yeah. So
the street urchin years.
So they probably had a harder time transporting it originally, just to point that out. It's probably harder in the 1200s.
They probably had an army helping. This is just four guys on their own.
That's true.
It's four guys and two cars. So, like, it's...
Wow.
Which is more than, like...
But did they get the entire stone in one car?
Well, this is what's interesting. So at the beginning, so they needed to fund the heist because, like I say, they have two cars. But who do you think would fund something like this?
Stone enthusiasts?
Scottish nationalists.
Braveheart.
Pranksters. Braveheart is a... Well...
Sisters of Braveheart, yes.
Is that history
he
again?
Was definitely there at the time of the street urchin era.
It was...
Fact.
Taylor, you were right. They got given £50, which is the equivalent of about £1,000 today, from a Scottish National Party leader, John McCormick. Although, despite this, McCormick was never implicated in any part of their actions. I just read that that's apparently where they got the money from.
I'm sad. I feel like I've heard of this.
Oh, really?
What? Okay, I've heard of John McCormick.
I've heard of him.
Okay, because it's...
Hang on, I've heard of Scotland. Stop it. I am on to you.
I know what a scone is. I know what's going on here. It's all making a lot of sense.
Because at the time in the 1950s, like, the Scottish National Party, I mean, was not as big as it is today. It had less than 1% of the vote, which is interesting.
Wow. Right.
Yeah. Obviously, they were like, right, no, this stone is ours. Fucking let's have it back. So on Christmas Eve, I'm sorry to bring up Christmas, Esther. I hope you're...
Triggered.
Christmas
what is it with robbing at Christmas?
Right. Oh, my God. It could have been these guys.
Well, it's a very similar time period, as we've all established.
Everyone's drunk. It's a great time to rob them.
Very true. Very true. So this is the Christmas Eve of 1950. Two cars set off from Glasgow and 20 hours later arrived in London. I've driven to Glasgow before. That seems like a really long time.
It was in the 50s. Their cars run by horse.
Yeah, someone had cystitis, probably the woman, and they had to keep stopping. So the four...
She was just in the back with cranberry juice.
Yeah, sometimes it's not even the cystitis that makes you piss, it's the sheer amount of cranberry juice. Other home truths on drunk women solving crime.
Oh, I love the idea that they're like, I told you we shouldn't have brought her. God damn it.
This is why women can't rob stuff, because we have to keep stopping for tampons and cranberries. It's just a nightmare. I think that the four of us should do a huge crime on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Oh, should we come back? Yeah. What should Let's we steal? It. What's rightfully ours?
I hadn't thought it through.
Nothing is rightfully
No one's taken anything from Britain. We tend to take a lot of other people's stuff. But is there
some kind of Yorkshire pudding statue
somewhere? Oh, TV shows.
We could return all the stuff from the British Museum to the other countries.
That would be amazing. Imagine.
That would be great. And then on Christmas morning, they'd wake up and it would be there.
We'd be like, ta-da, you've got the Easter Island statues back from the British Museum, which we broke into really cleverly.
So we'd still technically have done a crime, but we'd be really, like, good.
We'd be like the Robin Hood of historical artifacts. We're giving them
we'd
back.
We'd be like Robin Hood meets the Grinch.
That is an amazing elevator pitch right there. So the four robbers were Ian Hamilton, Kay Matheson, Alan Stewart and Gavin Vernon. Straight up, they get to Westminster Abbey. They've been on the road for 20 hours. How do you think they break into Westminster Abbey?
Yeah, good question. With another stone.
It's a stone-on-stone crime.
Yes.
I genuinely feel like I've heard of this.
Did they have a key?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Did they dress up as guards? They're like, sorry, we're late for our shift. You go home. It's Christmas Eve.
Ooh. Santa. Did they dress as Santa?
No. Do you know what, Kate? You might have, because where I originally saw this was on a Mary Berry cooking program last Christmas. So you could well know about it, but you might be like, what was it? It was like, all I can think of is like beef Wellington. No, it was, you might have seen that.
I feel like I read an article about it, though.
Well, I'll keep going and tell me if anything comes to mind, because what they did when they got to Westminster Abbey, all great guesses, but actually what it was is that they realised that one of the doors, all the doors were oak at Westminster Abbey, apart from one door, which was made out of pine. And now pine is like a much softer wood.
Soft wood.
Yeah. So they just got a crowbar and crowbarred it open.
Boosh.
Fair enough.
Wow, and nobody's around. Like, you can just... gently whittle your way through a door at Westminster Abbey because it's 1950.
Was there not a
That's
watchman?
Crazy.
Was there no watchman?
Right.
There was a livid. Who is this man who claims to be a watchman?
So there was? There was?
There was, yeah. But I mean, Westminster Abbey is a huge place. Like, yes, if it was only one or two of them, you know. And also, although I will tell you in a minute about somebody else tried to steal this stone once before, but it's not the sort of thing you'd think someone would come in and rob, because, I mean, I love this. They didn't realise just how heavy the stone would be, which is just typical kind of dumb robbers, bless them. So they go in, three of them went in, one stayed outside in one of the cars as a quick getaway. Who do you think they left outside?
The lady.
The woman.
Cake.
This is like Dracula all over again.
What happened in Dracula?
Well, okay, so I'm too drunk to do this justice, but basically in Dracula, the woman solves all of it. She keeps a journal. Her husband's been bitten by Dracula. She solves all of it. She nails it all down. Then they call in this expert and they go, thank you for your journal. Go and wait upstairs. The men are dealing with this now. And then she's all on her own and she gets bitten.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, they leave Kay in the car, which is just typical.
Just like getting bitten by a vampire.
To be fair, she had to keep pissing because of all that cranberry juice. She would have been a liability inside.
She's just in the car with a bootload of tampons going, oh. If only I had a penis, then I could do proper stuff. But until that day, I'll just sit out here.
But I love that the guys are inside and they're like, it's really heavy.
Do you think Kate can
can't
lift it?
Do it.
Can Kate help
her like,
lift it?
Leave the woman because she's not strong. And then they're like, ugh.
Like, it's great. But exactly. Also, so basically,
they could admit that it was heavy because the woman wasn't there.
Oh, yeah.
If she'd been there, they'd have been like, oh, yeah, we've got it.
And they'll put their backs out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically the Stone of Scone is it's sort of built into the coronation chair. So there's this big chair that was built in the 11th century. It's this big wooden throne.
Yeah.
And you'll recognise it if you see any pictures or paintings even of a coronation of a king or queen, they will be sat in this chair. So they break the chair open to get to the stone. And so, like I say, they don't realise how heavy the stone would be and they immediately have an accident. What do you think happened?
Oh.
They broke the chair. They broke the Stone of Scone. The scone stone.
Toe.
Oh,
broke a
toe. Yeah, they drop it on their foot or something.
They did a Hannah George when there's a mouse in the bathroom. I forgot that not the whole world knows that story. I'm sorry.
This was a story that happened in lockdown. It happened a couple of weeks ago when I was sat on the toilet. It was after a Drunk Women recording as well. I'd had a bottle of wine and I had my trousers around my ankles and a mouse ran from under the toilet and I screamed and ran out of the toilet with my trousers around my ankle, thus falling over with my arse in the air. My boyfriend looked over and was like, what the fuck is happening?
And he thought you were presenting. He was like, great, sex is on. This is how she normally goes about it. Arse
first.
I like
to empty my bladder and then offer up my
and then
arse,
just
yes.
Scream and fall flat. That's the ritual.
Exactly.
Sexy time.
The mouse
is coming.
Oh my god.
But it is one of those things though. So when I thought I'd broken my toe as well, but I thought I'd broken my foot because I could not stand on it, and I rang the doctor and he was like, what happened? And I told him, and he said I would have done the exact same thing. So that kind of, I really liked that.
Nice.
But yeah, it was that. They dropped it on their toes. So one of them broke two toes.
They really did. Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. And actually, Esther, you were completely right. They broke it. So the stone broke in half.
Wow.
Which is kind of proper criminal damage to this stone. And they broke the coronation chair. But what kind of made me laugh about that is that actually that helped because they could then take the stone in two separate...
One in each car.
Yeah, and just like one in each arm.
I'm so surprised because Westminster Abbey is big, but it's not so big. I'm still very hung up on this Night Watchman that if you heard the stone being dropped and then smashed and then just smashed, that he's... Like, how elderly was this Night Watchman that he was like, why'd I get over that 25 metres? Oh, you're really in for it. And they still managed to get these two huge clunks of stone out.
Yeah,
they did.
I reckon he was on the sherry.
It was Christmas Eve, wasn't it? Of course. Yeah. Of course he was on the sauce.
Well, I hope he's in Tower Bridge for treason.
Maybe it was one of the royals and they had to do like work experience. They're like, okay.
It was Harry. Just going,
once in your life.
Fuck about the chair.
I didn't know I was supposed to listen out for stuff.
So people think that the, if you remember earlier, I said that somebody else had tried to steal this stone once before. And they think that it broke in half so easily because there was already a crack down the middle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excuses.
So some people...
No, it was like that. It was like that from the previous robbers.
Yeah, some people tried to blow it up in 1914. They used a proper kind of explosive device. Who do you think that was?
not Scottish people again, was it? Oh, wait. Would it have been...
Guy Fawkes.
It was, no, wait, 1914 was the start of the war. That's during the war. That was the start of the war.
So who the warlords.
So who else not Guy pretty big.
The girls were pretty big. Oh, not the suffragettes.
It was the bloody suffragettes.
Yay!
Yeah.
Go the girls. Well, fair play.
Yeah, well, they did it. They did it so Kay wouldn't have to sit in the fucking car and look for their cars.
They were doing it for the sisters, for us guys.
I mean, I don't know personally if they were like deliberately trying to get the coronation chair or the. I don't think it was anything to do with the Stone of Scone. It might have just been a bomb at Westminster Abbey. I don't know what.
They did all sorts. They did all sorts.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, so they've finished the job, these guys, and the stone breaks in two parts. So basically, Ian goes outside to the Ford Anglia that Kay is in, and they put it in the back seat, cover it with a blanket. However, a policeman approaches them. What do you think they say they're doing?
Making a John Hughes film.
They're looking for communists, and they're willing to turn them in. I feel like if you say that in 1950, anyone will let you off.
They were just putting it back.
Oh, nice.
From someone else who tried to steal it.
Yeah, they've just foiled a Scooby-Doo crime.
Yeah. We caught some Scottish people, not us, others, and we're just trying to do the right thing.
I wonder if that ever works, if you're like you're robbing and just you start walking backwards and doing everything in reverse. What's that stuff?
My granddad used to do that with us in the cinema. He used to make us all walk in backwards so we didn't have to pay when we were kids.
Oh my god, did it work?
Twice.
Wow.
So did.
As other people were leaving and the cleaners were going in to clean, he would just make us like melee amongst the crowd and go, just walk back, walk back, walk back, walk back, get into the cinema.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's a brilliant life hack.
I don't think you'd be able to do that now. They were slightly more vigilant now, but back then you could get away with it. It was back in the urchin years. It was fine.
My mum used to do that. She used to sneak, like, one of them would pay and then open the, like, fire escape door and then the other six would come in.
Ah, yeah.
That was the 50s, probably, maybe the 60s, I don't know.
I don't understand how walking backwards ever works, though, unless you film it and play it in reverse. I don't understand. Does it just throw people off so much? You're like, what?
That is good.
If you do anything... facing the direction that you shouldn't naturally be facing, people don't question it.
Oh my God.
It's like Dara Brian once did a joke about the fact that it would really freak you out if you walked into a lift and just stood facing the way of the other people instead of turning around. People would just be like, what is this psycho doing?
Yes.
It's true. If you just face the other way, then people are like, okay, well, their face is... I'm going to go by the direction their face is rather than the way their body's moving.
I love this. Can't wait to try.
Look out for in crime.
Drunk women solving crime.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Oh. I love it. So many life hacks today. Yeah. Fall over a mouse with your arse out if you want a little bit of loving.
Actually, if you want to get laid.
Just walk backwards into the bedroom.
Hey, I've broken my toe.
Oh,
you
no, because your husband, your partner, your boyfriend would be like, no, oh, she's coming out of the bedroom. She's not going
in. Oh, God, yeah.
That's how you get out of sex. You just walk backward into the bedroom. You're like, oh, she's not going in there. She's coming out. So I'll just get on with what I was doing.
This is getting more and more useful. Okay.
You're welcome.
So basically what Ian does is, and this feels like it's kind of, like, anyway, he grabs Kay and snogs her. And then they kind of say they're just lovers looking for a B&B for the night. And,
oh my God.
Yeah.
What, with a massive stone?
Yeah. Kay thinks it's her baby. Don't question it. She's got it in the back of the
car. Kay was just like, okay, this has all just been a massive ploy so you could just cop a feel. This is what this is all. But,
yeah.
Oh, I'm not even allowed to get involved in the robbing. I just have to sit here and be snogged by you. Unless Kate was a bit of a prat.
But, like, also...
Just was like, oh, I'll go along for it.
Like, I want to hear Kay's version of this. It's like, he was like, yeah, this brilliant ploy, I just, like, snogged Kay. Is Kay like, oh, and so they made me sit in the car and then they fucking snogged me.
That's what I mean. Is Kay annoyed by this, or is Kay someone who's like, oh, I just wanted to be part of it? Like, come on, Kay, what's your problem?
Kay's like, I'm
she's annoying
the
me now. Her and the Night Watchman pissed me right off. Livid.
Well, Kay, I tell you what Kay does is Kay drives away after this happens as Ian goes back into Westminster Abbey. And I don't know if it's her just being like, right, I'm off, or that was part of the plan. But she goes, and then the three of them get the other bit of the stone, get it into the car, the other car, and they drive away. So the theft, I know that you hate the Watchman, but almost immediately he noticed and he was like... Wait a minute.
Yeah.
4 hours later, he's bang on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what that pounding was earlier? I'm going to call somebody first thing in the morning. Oh, I can. It's Christmas. So, and then it's Boxing.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to Scotland.
Come the new year, I will act upon this 1951...
So basically, though, obviously he calls the police immediately and they take it very seriously. This is a huge thing to have happened. They take these measures to try
Sorry,
and
quick question. Go on. The stone is split in half and it's in two cars, like a giant best friend's necklace. Like, it's separate, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Great description. The police did something that they haven't done for 400 years when this happened in order to try and capture these robbers. What do you think that was?
400 years?
Something that hasn't happened for 400 years.
What's 400 years before 1950?
Nobody knows. That's impossible.
So we're talking about Viking time.
I'll give you a clue. And it's... It's to do something that was
they
like...
called the Vikings.
They called the Vikings. And the Vikings came in their ships... And hell hath no fury like a Viking resurrected from death.
Yorick, it's Phil with the London police. Yeah, it's time.
The London police.
It's time.
I forgot what they were called.
They're coming on there. They're just walking backwards into London. No one will notice us. No one will notice us. It's fine.
Hey, the Vikings are leaving again.
Katie, any advance on Vikings?
The police do something they haven't done for 400 years.
Yeah, and basically, I mean, obviously it wasn't the police who did it the first time.
Yes, because
the
didn't exist 400 years ago. And Scotland and England were only united for 300 years.
Well, basically, what they did is they closed the border between England and Scotland.
Yes.
Right.
Which is obviously a big, big old deal. And they also put massive roadblocks in London. So we've got three men in one car and one woman in the other car. Who do you think got through the roadblocks absolutely fine?
Oh, my God, I hope it's her.
The woman, definitely.
It's going to be amazing if it's not her. And the three blokes, they're like, oh, yes, you go through.
Come along,
it's got to be the other
I reckon
way.
They would never, ever, ever in a million years suspect that a woman would do it. So they're just like,
but the Night Watchman knows there's a woman with a stone in her car.
No, he doesn't, said, does he?
No, it was a policeman. It was a different policeman. And he didn't see the stone. He just saw the snogging.
A couple snogging.
Yeah, little distraction technique there.
Okay, let's go that she gets through then, because women are dumb bitches that can't steal stones.
I'm not sure that's what they said, but that is what happened. Okay. She got through. She also had a bit of a head start because she left
the scene
first.
She beat the roadblocks.
Yeah, I mean, it could well have been that.
I drive super fast when I have cystitis too. Pedal to the fucking metal.
And they didn't have heated car seats then, so you couldn't even warm up your clunge.
This is very true. Actually, in lots of stuff that I read about this, they went on about the fact that the cars didn't have heating and about how cold it would have been, which does not help Kay.
Cystitis.
Who, yeah.
I like the fact that we've just assumed she's got cystitis. Just it's
alive.
Christmas time. She's been drinking a lot and probably having loads of sex.
If she ever hears this.
I know she's died now, actually, because obviously, you know, they were
of
20
cystitis.
In the 50s.
Yeah.
That's what it says. It says on her headstone. With burning urination, she passed away.
The tragedy of all of this is cranberry juice didn't exist then, did it? And that's what we're all afraid to say.
But it didn't. Cranberry sauce probably did. Christmas Day should have been sorted.
Oh.
Yeah, but you couldn't, like, down gallons. I mean, I don't know about you guys.
Best time to have cystitis at Christmas.
It's hard, though, because you have to drink so much cystitis. I mean, I have to drink so much cystitis. I have to, I'm a bit drunk now. But I have to drink so much cranberry when I have cystitis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for letting me just get that out.
So basically the three men are like, okay, we've got to dump the stone somewhere. We can't get it through
know
these roadblocks.
Okay.
They
oh
know
God.
They can't. So they drive to Kent and they hid
not
the
very
stone.
Far away.
No, I think
so. They went south.
That's confusing.
It's weird, isn't it? For some reason, they went to Kent. And also,
so Kay went back home,
yeah,
and they were like, we'll go further away. Yeah.
They're like, wait, she knew directions and we don't. We can figure it out.
Yeah, we don't need to ask anyone.
She was anyone with map reading skills, but she's a forgotten hero.
Yeah. Mm. Actually, a t-shirt with her face on it. She sounds fucking wicked.
I mean, do you know what? We've really come round to Kay. Like, there was a moment, but I'm a big fan.
I'm going to have her on the front and the Night Watchman on the back of my T-shirt. Legends.
We've been very mercurial.
So, yeah, where do you think they hide this stone in Kent?
In Canterbury.
It's more, like, more specific than, like...
Canterbury Square.
In the Garden of Kent.
In the garden. You're kind of close to the garden.
In a allotment.
Well, yeah, it's a field. They just dig a hole in a field and they just bury it. And then they drive back to Scotland. A few weeks later, they returned, digged it up.
Wow.
And managed to get it back to Scotland because everything had reopened.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Oh.
So they did it. So they had a homecoming ritual.
Did it sprout? Was it starting to grow other stones? It's so fertile in Kent. The soil's great.
They. What do you think the ritual was that when they crossed the border? What?
The ritual.
They did a ritual, yeah. They had a homecoming.
Well, just the four
God.
Of them. Just the four of them.
They, like, brought the stones together and mashed them with glue.
Who was at the ritual?
I think it was just the three men who went back to get the stone. So when they crossed over from England into Scotland, they had a little ritual with the stone. What do you think they did?
Did they flash their asses to England?
Oh, interesting. That's a good one.
And then...
I got that from Braveheart. Graveheart. Is it Graveheart or Braveheart? Sorry, Katie, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say they played bagpipes, which is terribly stereotypical.
I mean, the answer is quite stereotypical.
They sang...
Haggis?
They sang the Scottish National Anthem.
Well, what
yeah,
they did...
shouted, fuck England.
I mean, I like this because I'm sort of like taking you down this road, but you're just all being awful. And what it was...
Is... Yeah, did I hear haggis?
What other stereotypes do we know?
Tablet, fried stuff.
Can I just tell one very quick story?
Please.
Okay. So my mum, her dad is Scottish, her mum is Irish. We all watched Braveheart as a family when I was like 13 or 14 or whatever. And like, obviously there's all this torture and killing of Scottish people. And my mum literally turned to me and my dad and my brother and went, "You see what you English did to us?"
Did you apologise?
Well, I was very confused.
I love your mum so much. She's so funny. Just
I love
taking
it.
That out. On
I love, no, I love it when parents get really nationalistic and somehow it's your fault. You're like, okay, yes.
It's like you right. had me in England. What was I going to be?
So basically what it was is they doused the stone in whiskey. Which,
okay, so if we'd said that would have been offensive.
I know, exactly. I led you up a path there and I apologise.
But I quite like that.
I think it's
cool thing to do.
It's quite, that's what you would do with if you had an injury that like cleanses it.
There you go. Maybe they're cleansing the stone. And so basically they get back, they meet up with Kay and they take both sides of the stone to a guy called Robert Gray, who was a stonemason. And he fixed the sides back together using a brass rod.
Grayheart, see? I knew it was a guy.
he puts a rod in between the two pieces. And the students rolled up a piece of paper, put it in the rod, and it's still in there to this day.
No!
And nobody knows what it said on it. Nobody knows what they wrote because
Why?
It's never been taken apart because it's the thing that's holding it together. So who knows at what point. So my question to you is, what do you think they could have written?
I can't believe no one Scottish hasn't pulled this off, though.
We have the technology to open it and put it back perfectly. We could read that and then put it back.
I mean, I think that we should start a campaign because I would really like to know what it said, particularly as I think it might just be something like, fucking idiots. Yeah, or something like something.
I think it'll be something like fuck the British.
Yeah, it's gotta be, right?
Yeah.
It's gotta be something like that.
And it'd be quite
It might be really profound.
It's all in Latin and it's just very poetic.
I've cheated and I've Googled old Scottish sayings, but
I thought you just got bored and you were just like on jury.
Marianne Taylor is just not into this episode.
I won't take it personally.
Candy crush. Yeah, wow, in front of
Esther,
she
can see you. I don't like this week's guest. She's a dick, so.
I'll give you a scalpit lug. I'll give you a slap on the ear. That's what they put.
Oh, wow. I think that's probably the closest we've got. But I love that. That's quite cool.
Can I ask a question? When they met up with Kay to get the stone, where was she? Where did she keep the stone?
Ooh, that's a good question.
In her pants.
In her bra, where all women keep stuff.
Everything. Yeah, she kept it at her family's farm. So her family had a farm and she just kept it there. Basically, the theft of the stone made headlines around the world. And the way they found the students in the end, so they were all about 20 years old, these guys at the time. It was several months later and was via a library in Glasgow. How do you think a library helped find these students?
They were in it.
With the stone.
Were they checking out books related to
masonry? Well,
yeah, it wouldn't be about putting the stone back together because Gray did it. Gray Heart. Or just about nationalism. Yeah, it's going to have something to do with the...
checking the books out.
Right? Like how serial killers take out books?
I reckon they were taking out books about greatest heists or something.
Ah, okay. Well, it was taking out books, but it was that someone had checked out every single book in the library on Westminster Abbey.
probably a little bit better suggestion than heists.
You've got to get your inspiration somewhere. Every single heist book says keep the woman in the car. And so it was Ian Hamilton who was kind of, I think, a bit of a ringleader of this whole thing. I mean, I'm not sure that's official, but he's sort of talked quite a lot on the subject of this.
Yeah.
And so many years later.
He's the snogger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hamilton, who he was studying law at the time, and he became a criminal lawyer himself afterwards.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, which is incredible. And he confessed, he said, "I've defended a lot of daft people during the 30 years as a criminal lawyer, but I doubt very much if I've defended anyone who was as daft as we were then."
Oh.
So he kind of, you know, he just... he sees the flaws in his plan there.
But that's still quite a cool thing to have done. I'd be really kind of proud if I was an old woman doddering around going, "I robbed Westminster Abbey."
Yeah,
exactly.
They didn't get convicted. Like they...
Well, that was my next question to you. Do you think they get prosecuted?
I feel like they should be allowed to keep the stone after all this effort.
Well, if he became a lawyer, he probably was... Can you have a criminal record and become a lawyer?
It's a good question. I don't know, but they weren't prosecuted. And in Scotland, the students became notorious for their daring heist and achieved nigh on hero status. Going back to your thing of like stealing the, you know, like the other university's donkey or their mascot. Yeah, and Ian Hamilton said that the British government had feared Scots would take to the streets if the students ended up going to court.
Right.
So it was a case of don't go there. And they didn't. So they got the stone back, because the stone, actually what it was is the students, like, they took it to like a church and they rang them beforehand or something and sort of said, "We're going to deliver something to you." And then they fucked off. And then the people at the church rang the police and said, "Oh, we've got the stone of scone here."
What year
oh
was
my
that?
God, like what leaving year? A baby. Look after it.
It was still 1950.
Men and a baby. What year did they do that?
So it was 1950. So it was still
They gave it back straight away.
Yeah, within 3 months it was. So they gave it back within a few months, but they did it on their terms.
Okay, and then what happened though? Then it went.
Then
back.
The library. Then it was the library, and they got found. So that's the sort of chain of events.
And then did the stone go back to Westminster Abbey? Yes, because Queen Elizabeth sat on it.
Yeah, it did. So 3 years later, the Queen was coronated. Where do you think it is today? Do you think it's still in Westminster Abbey? Do you
so
think
she Scott's sat got it back? On it with a little note in it.
Well, yeah. I hope it says something like. But I hope it says something offensive, and she's sat there with all that pomp and ridiculousness, and she's sat on a note that says, "Fuck off, you twat," or something. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot more articulate.
I don't remember, because I've seen the coronation throne. Is that what it's called? The coronation chair in Westminster Abbey. And I don't remember learning about this, so I feel like it's not there anymore, but I could be wrong because I don't pay attention sometimes.
I love it. You spend all this money and all this time going to all these beautiful places and you're like, "I will switch off right now. Thank you very much."
I will choose the bits I wish to learn. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I went to Westminster Abbey about 4 years ago and I can't remember if I saw the
stone.
Because the thing is, the stone was inside the chair and behind like a wooden grill. So really, it's almost like a secret. It's why people don't really know that it's there. But having said that, it is not there.
Okay. I was going to say, I have that disorder where I hate things in things. I forget what it's called, like things that are nestled in other things. So this is like my fucking nightmare. Like this has turned into the Russian doll of thrones. Like there's a note in a stone in the throne and that's in a building. It's just too many layers.
No.
But go ahead, Hannah, as you were.
I feel like we're learning a lot about Taylor tonight and I'm enjoying it. It's so 1996, the English authorities returned the Stone of Scone to Scotland on the condition that they can like borrow it if they ever need it again for future coronations. Yeah, so it was many, many decades later. And I don't know what brought around this thing that they were like, "Oh, you can have it back." So it's in Edinburgh Castle. That's where it's on display.
Oh, I'm so going to go and see it. If we can go back to Edinburgh.
When we're allowed to do stuff. Oh my gosh.
But what's interesting is, the English have this thing that they can borrow it back if they need it. And like, no offence to the Queen, she's 94 now. I think pretty soon there might be another coronation, you know. So it'll be interesting. They'll have to get the Stone of Scone from Edinburgh, bring it back down.
I mean, will they?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. But it's a hell of a tradition if it started in the 11th or 12th century. So years after the infamous theft, Ian Hamilton said, "When I lifted the stone in Westminster Abbey, I felt Scotland's soul was in my hands." And then he dropped it on his foot. So here's to Ian Hamilton and Kay Matheson. And cheers, guys. And Gavin. And who was Kay. He? I've lost the piece in my thing.
Right, yep.
And there was Kay. And, oh, no, you don't want to be the other one. Alan Stewart and Gavin Vernon. Here's to them.
Alan's like the Ringo. No one remembers him. Drunk women solving
crime. So all we've got left to do is... have a little look at this listener crime. Now, this listener crime is, it's intense, so strap in. This is from Vicky, and she says, "Dear drunk women, I've been victim of a crime, but the good news is I already know the perp. What I need from you ladies is something far more elusive, justice. When I was about 6, I came home from school to learn that my beloved parakeet Pumpkin was gone. My father told me he'd been cleaning out the cage and had carelessly left the door open, and Pumpkin had run, in brackets, flown, away. This struck me as out of character for my meticulous father, but I was 6, so I had a good cry, left some birdseed on the windowsill for a few weeks, and eventually forgot all about it. Jump cut to 15 years later, I'm at a dinner with my father and oldest brother, who's old enough that he had his own place when this happened. We were at an Outback Steakhouse, in brackets, no rules, just right." Now, Taylor, yeah. Is that an American thing?
Well, so Outback Steakhouse is a chain, as you can work out. And they were known for this ridiculous thing where they would cut up and fry an entire onion, and it was called a bloomin' onion. But that was their tagline for a few years.
No rules, just right.
Just right, yeah.
Is this listener crime from America?
Oh, yeah. We've gone stateside, baby. I guess so, because we don't have Outback Steakhouses
here. No, we not. We have
steakhouses.
But not Outback Steakhouses.
We have steak.
No one knows anymore. I don't know what's outside.
I don't know. No,
the before times.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like an Australian steakhouse, but it's such an insult to anything Australian. Okay. Like, talk about stereotypes.
You surf and turf.
I've never been to one.
Oh, very lousy tart. Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
So Vicky says...
It sounds like it's probably like the equivalent of a harvester here.
Yeah, I was thinking kind of harvester, that kind of thing.
Are we throwing shade on our listener crime, guys?
No. No, not... I mean, I
love harvester.
She says that her brother and father were tossing around anecdotes about parenting while I pick at an appetizer, bored. My dad starts telling this hilarious story about the time he was tidying up and noticed a lot of mess at the bottom of the birdcage. He, without giving it much thought, popped the hose attachment on the vacuum, opened the cage and turned it on just as Pumpkin decided to switch perches. As he describing the tonk sound the bird made going up the vacuum and expressing his shock at how strong the suction was, he looks over to see me, blooming onion in hand, face frozen in shock.
Oh, it was then.
Yes. This is fucking horrible. It was then he realised he had never told me the truth, and I was left to shout, "You said he ran away." That's all in capital letters in the middle of an Outback Steakhouse, in brackets, no rules, just right.
Brilliant.
I mean, the way she's written this,
she's so angry that that was the saying.
It's beautifully written.
It's so good. And it kind of takes the sting out of how horrible that is. But what a thing to lie about, this guy. So it says her father, he was genuinely remorseful, despite the fact that he could not stop laughing and swore that he'd already fessed up. So now my question to you, what is the statute of limitations on bird murder? Is this bird murder or avian manslaughter? Am I owed compensation? I think she needs a bit of therapy, but it's fine. We always had birds, so I'm fairly certain my father wasn't harbouring any deep parakeet-exclusive homicidal tendencies. But given this new information, our exhumations... Is that the right pronunciation? Exhumations? In order. To exhume. Again...
I have a
bad feeling there's no burial plot.
Yeah.
I think it went out with the vacuum bag. That is horrific. The only reason I'm laughing at it is because my childhood was just absolutely full of animal related trauma because I grew up in the country and like near farms, and you just get exposed to horrific stuff. And it's just funny because it's so horrible and tragic. So the idea of having this like really late reveal, while you're at a chain restaurant trying to enjoy your fried onion.
No rules, just right. No, well, maybe that could be her thing. Maybe she should just look. There are no rules when it comes to this crime. You just got to go with your gut because that's just right. So there you go.
Oh my God, listen to the steakhouse is what we're saying.
Listen to the steakhouse. Listen to your heart / steak. Listen to it. It's telling you what to do.
It's manslaughter. Like, it's bird slaughter. It's accidental. It's accidental murder. But like, could he not have opened the hoover? Could the bird have flown out?
It's quite a strange thing to do, to hoover a cage while the animal is still in there. So this makes me think that he was harbouring a grudge against this bird.
Ooh. Yeah, maybe he was harbouring a grudge against Vicky because he was obviously hoovering her room. And I think that as a child, I'd be like, hoover your own damn room. Is six too early to hoover a room? I don't know, children.
It's a little too young, Hannah, but you're going to be a great
it's
mom.
It's probably...
hoover your own fucking room!
He's probably so fed up of clearing up her shit that he was like, I'll teach her a fucking lesson. Oh, I've got to clean up your shit. Where's your bird gone? Back of the hoover, that's where he's gone.
So he wasn't like his best self when he opened that cage door, and then his anger came out on the bird, and he was like, oh fuck, I shouldn't have done this angry.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything sinister. Like, I've done stupid things where I'm just like, this will be fine. Like, I can imagine being like, how strong can a vacuum be? Like, I make choices like that all the time. So I imagine, and I hope he was genuinely horrified. I guess I understand his decision not to tell the child.
A six-year-old child.
But how can you forget that you made that choice? How can you forget and then laugh about it 15 years later? That's the part that I'm like, dude, what? Like, there's no way.
That's like, that's one story for her, the six-year-old, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I don't know what happened. And then the second he's in the pub with his friends, oh my God, parenting fails, # guess what I just did. And he's obviously thought it was funny from the get-go.
Maybe. I don't know. Apparently, I mean, she did say he was genuinely. I think it's just the idea that you, with something like that, but he thought he'd told her. He thought he'd confessed.
Well, it's what? It's Father's Day on Sunday. She should leave a dead bird outside his house with a really with a Father's Day card, just with a message written in the bird's blood. Yeah. I will never, ever forget.
Yeah.
And then that's okay. And then that just solves it. Then that's, you know, then it's done. That's fine.
That's what I call justice.
No, Vicky, justice. I really hope that's helped because I feel like we've smashed that. Thank you so much for your email, because it was just a beautiful thing to read out, to be honest. I just like the expression parakeet exclusive homicidal tendencies.
See, if he just walked out of her bedroom backwards, she wouldn't have even she wouldn't have even clocked that he was going in there in the first place.
That would be so much better.
You can always commit crime as long as you face a different direction to where your body's moving.
I feel like that's a lesson.
You're golden. It is a lesson. You're welcome, ladies.
You're welcome. Crime life hack.
Well, I mean, we've got to the part of the podcast where, Esther, tell us what you're up to and where people can find you for more sort of like hot life hacks, because you've given us quite a few tonight.
Well, I am nowhere but incarcerated in my own home, so you can come stand out my house. And I'm happy to talk to you at a 2 meter distance from my window. That's fine. No, I do. Whilst we're on lockdown, obviously, when things kick back open, then please come and watch me live. Or if you're coming to Edinburgh, come and watch my show. But in the meantime, I'm currently doing online Pictionary twice a month, which you can find at jokepit.com. Yes.
Cool.
Different
nice.
Themes. The next theme is types of smell. And we are joined every session. We are joined with a different comedy guest, and we draw different themes, and the audience have to guess. So it's quite interactive.
Oh, that sounds cool. Excellent.
And are you on Twitter? Where can we find you?
Yeah, I'm at Esther Manito on Twitter, Esther Manito on Instagram. And on Facebook. Do people use Facebook anymore? I feel like it's a bit like send me a letter is quite like write to me by Quill. Yeah, I'm not on anything young and funky. Like I'm not on TikTok or Face Chat Flaps. I'm not on any of that. You can't
you
find me on
should
that.
Do TikTok with your walking backwards stuff. Just you walking backwards into places.
I want to see this.
Me walking backwards places. No, but I will leave you with a story where I do a hilarious, brilliant impression of a camel walk. And it involves a kind of like buttocky swaying movement. And before Emily Blunt became famous, she was on a date with my mate's cousin and we met her in a restaurant where I was shit-faced. And in front of the entire restaurant and Emily Blunt, I did my camel walk. And still to this day, it's been the most proudest thing I've ever done. It wasn't until a few years later I saw on the TV, I was like, oh. That's embarrassing.
No, I'm sure that shaped her career.
Yeah, she was like, I've never seen such a, you know, such an interesting walk across a restaurant with such confidence and our swagger.
Awesome. Yeah.
You're welcome. Well,
on that note, we have to say thank you, Esther Benito.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.